Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome into the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning with you until 11 o'clock. The Bruins and the rest of the NHL on the All-Star break this weekend. We are playing a man short today, Judd Surratt. Bob Beers is in studio. Judd Surratt has taken the weekend off. How does the rookie get the weekend off?
He deserves it. He deserves it. He's got to go home and see the family. That's all right. I remember we had a guy that used to sit in that chair that took a couple of those weekends off.
Yeah, he used to disappear around All-Star break.
Yeah. That's all right.
He's sitting in a warm weather place right now.
Judd's not.
No. we got lots to get to today. Obviously, we will we'll be joined later on in the hour by Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston. We'll be joined in the second hour, of course, as well by Billy Jaffe, as we normally are. And we'll take your phone calls throughout at 617-779-0985. You can text us as well at 69985. Three more wins since our last conversation here. Just keeps right on going.
Yeah, nothing else happened this week, though.
No. 18 straight games without a regulation loss. Now, we'll get into all that. We'll talk about some of the games that we saw this week. Two of the biggest names on this team, two of the best players on this team, missing for two very different reasons. Charlie McAvoy on Monday has the surgery to correct a heart arrhythmia. We'll talk a little bit about that. But Brad Marchand, Tuesday night, elbows Marcus Johansson in the New Jersey game and gets a 5-game suspension. First and foremost, well earned.
Yeah, I think so. I do think so. You can debate the amount of games, but there was something there. There's no question about that. Nobody can question that. You can debate whether he was protecting himself because he's taken some of those high hits. You know, I've heard that said. I heard that said by Bruce Cassidy, and that might be some degree to that. There might be some. I'm sure that there's certainly some truth to that, but there's other ways, you know, to protect yourself. I just think it was, you know, we've seen it from him. You know, it's like all of a sudden something turns, something snaps, and, you know, whether it's taking a guy's legs out or whether it's kind of doing that, you know, unfortunately for him, the 5 games hurts, you know, hurts the team, hurts his reputation, that type of thing. I mean, you know, you can't underestimate what he's meant to this team this year. That line has been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal, the type of season he's had. And he continues to get better, it seems like. He continues to add things to his repertoire. But this part of the game, just it has to go. And I know there's some people that feel it should be more games, and there's some people that certainly feel it should be less. So, you know, right now it's for him, it's just he just can't do it. I mean, you can't do it. There's no other way to put it. And there's other guys that protect themselves, but, you know, it's not that. And I get it. I love when he plays a chip on his shoulder. I want him to play with that chip on his shoulder. I want him to play, you know, nasty a little bit and, you know, give a guy a little stick after whistle. I have no problem with any of that. And the mouth that he uses, you know, and he chirps guys. That's all great. He can't that line that we've always talked about, the cross, and he crossed it.
I had the reaction, I think, pretty similar to what Bruce Cassidy said the other day before the suspension was announced, which was that at first blush, when I saw the play, I thought he's kind of defending himself. There's a, you know, he's going hard to the front of the net. The, you know, defender is crashing down on him. He puts his arm up to try to defend himself. And then you see it from a different angle and it comes across a little bit differently. The angle where you're actually looking from Marchand's back, where you can see him kind of swing the elbow forward and make contact. And that, you know, if you watch the player safety video that they put out, they reference that and that it's an offensive maneuver on his part.
Yeah, and, you know, is it a defensive or offensive, right? I mean, you know, are you putting your hands up to protect yourself if somebody's coming in there? No, he put up his, you know, he got his elbow up there. So, he threw the arm out, and that back angle, yeah. And when I saw it initially, I didn't see that angle, it looks like he caught him up high. And then when you see the replay and you see it broken down the way that they did it, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to defend. The only thing you can debate is how many, right, and what the punishment should be. And there's some school of thought out there, too, Ryan. There was a hit earlier in the season on Tavares, you know, and I watched that hit a bunch of times after the fact, and I said, all right, man, I was a little surprised he got away. There was nothing on that. Mm-hmm. They gave him a five-minute major on the ice.
Right.
That was a hit on Tavares. And I thought maybe there would have been a fine or something like that. And then there was a school saying, all right, maybe the league said, all right, we're going to let you skate on this one. All right, because it's debatable and it's, you know, this and that. And, you know, but, you know, you can't be doing this stuff. It was a different hit. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same type of hit. But, you know, you can't be doing it. And I don't know if that's accurate or not. Who knows? That's never going to be told to us. So, or at least truthfully told to us, I don't think. Anyhow, so it's, you know, there's that line that we've talked about it over the years. There's that line that he can't cross. And, you know, when he crosses it, he's a bit of a target right now. So, and they went after him with it.
Well, and now you've got, you know, as you said, you can debate the length of the suspension and
that's always, I mean, every right. time someone's getting suspended, it's okay, well, how many games? Well, no, it should have been this or it should have been that. I mean, that's just,
I mean, I was a little surprised by five games, but again,
we were just up in Canada. There were people calling for a lot more.
But the most, you know, what you hear mostly is, well, I mean, look at his history. And, you know, if you,
first of all, $780,000 he's forfeited after this suspension. How do I get in line for that player assistance fund?
Yeah, right. Fines and suspensions are creeping up toward $1 million over the course of his career. So he's costing himself a lot of money. First and foremost,
former players thank him.
Yeah. So, you know, but again, you look at the history and the fact that he's been suspended multiple times, and so, look, it hasn't always been...
It's six times, and it's been for different things.
It hasn't always... So I was going to say, it hasn't always been, you know, hits to the head. We know he's low bridge hits and things like that, but it's, you know, there's a pattern, and as you said, the one earlier this year where he, you know, he didn't get suspended, where maybe he could have, you know, I wonder if that does enter into it, and say, look, you know what, We're trying to help, we're trying to work with you here, but you keep crossing the line.
That was the first thought that came to my mind, and when they handed it down, that was the first thought. And there was some people that said no, that wasn't the case. But they, you know, that was the when I saw that, and I said, well, okay, nothing, not even a fine, you know, no warning. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. All right, and all of a sudden now it's five games. So, and I know it's a different hit, it's a different type of circumstances. There's a lot of different things to it, but you know, I was. You know, Andy Brickley and I sat down and we watched like some of Matt Cook's stuff because he had been suspended a lot. You know, mm-hmm. You watch Cook's stuff, that's the word that always comes to mind is predator.
Right.
You know, he was, his hits were predatory. You know, taking out guys' heads, coming across the middle with Mark Savard. That was before suspensions were in place for that type of thing, before that rule was implemented. Taking out guys' knees. I mean, his stuff is scary, you know, and multiple times for coming at guys' heads. And you watch all his hits, you know, back to back to back, and it's like, wow. You know, this guy was, I know he tried to clean up his act at the end, but
he was out there trying to hurt people.
Yeah. And that's not the case with Marchand. You know, it's like a quick reaction to something that's coming. All right, guy, Sammy Salo's coming to hit him. He ducks underneath. You know, I've seen Marchand get low-bridged by guys.
Sure.
I saw him get low-bridged by Mason Raymond in the finals in 2011. I saw him get low-bridged by Brian Campbell right in the middle of the ice. You know, so Sammy Salo got hurt from that.
Well, and Marchand got headshot earlier this year.
He did.
They never officially said it, but the understanding, you know, the thinking that most people had was that he was having some concussion symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, well, there were two hits, in fact, and I don't know which one actually did. I think it was the Wilson one that actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
The Wilson hit looked like it was a little bit high, but we never really went back to that one. The Provorov one, he caught him, but that was a clean hit.
Yeah.
But the Provorov one is a good hit. You can't take that out of the game. You want to see that hit. And unfortunately for Martian, he got hit in the head because he was leaning way forward. And Provorov he did everything right.
Right.
So I had no problem with that one. The Wilson one, you know, a little off. But I thought those two, you know, maybe contributed to, you know, where he was at earlier in the season.
what's Marchand's reputation around the league?
Well, there's a lot of guys that there's a high respect for what he's capable of doing. And it depends on the guy, right? I mean, it depends on who you're talking to. But there's a high respect for what he's capable of doing and the way he's able to put up points while still playing on that line. You know, but there's a little hatred there. There's a little, you know, when he's doing all that and then he's chirping at you, too. He's like, you know, I just beat you here and I just beat you there. You know, there's a lot of different things that are chirped out. But, I mean, that gets under guys' skin. And then they can't catch him.
Well,
but then when they do catch him, when he has to go by the bench after they do catch him, there's a lot of chirping coming from that bench.
You know, if you think of guys who have been, you know, kind of
You know what? He doesn't care what that reputation is around the league.
Oh, sure.
He cares about what the reputation is in locker room and what his teammates think of him. And I can tell you that the teammates love him. So, you know, he's and the organization loves what he's able to do. So,
I mean, I got to think if you're playing against him, it's unbelievably frustrating because he's a guy who does get under your skin. And you think back to a lot of guys who have done that over the years who are kind of those, you know, what you would consider agitators. They're not as good as him.
Yeah.
Right. They're not guys who are going to be scoring 30 goals. They're guys who are, you know, that's their main role on the team is to try to poke and prod you and get you to do, you know, get you off your game. They're not a guy that you then have to worry about blowing by you and scoring a highlight reel goal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, somebody like Kenny Linsman comes to mind, but he was able to put up a lot of points as well. But, you know, so there's very few guys, let's put it that way,
yeah,
that, especially currently, that are capable of doing that to that degree. There's nobody. Look at, you know, just look up and down the stats. I mean, you look at the scores, the top scorers in the league, and if Brad Marchand's one of them, which he is, if you look at points per game, he is, you know, you don't have that type of player really in there, at least that I can see.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about him, and we'll get to your calls here on the suspension at 617-779-0985. Because the ultimate question is Brad Marchand, you know, is this just have to be the cost of doing business when you have Brad Marchand on your team? So we'll get to that coming up next. It is the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've been trying to play a certain way for a while now, and, you know, it was never my intent to get into a situation like this and to injure Marcus. So hopefully he has a full, healthy recovery very quickly. I'm just sorry that, you know, I let my teammates down. I know that, and I let the organization down. So I have to be better. There's no question.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Bob was just mentioning during our first segment about Brad Marchand doesn't really care about his reputation around the league. He cares about how his teammates feel.
I mean,
about
he might
him.
Care a little bit, but right. The more important one is what the players around, what his teammates think of
him. And you heard it right there. You know, he lets his teammates down. You know, here you are, you know, you're... Things are going great for your club, 18 straight games now since regulation loss, and one of your best offensive players is sitting for the next 5 games.
You know, he's only played 38 games this season. Somebody like Kucherov has played 49. So Kucherov has 63 points. He leads the league in points right now with 63 after 49 games played. They have a statistic for points per game played. So Marchand's played 38. He has 50 points. He's number one in the league in points per game. So, you know, I mean, he missed some games because of injury earlier in the season, and now he's missed a couple, and the Bruins are got behind by a couple games. But, you know, he's going to miss some important games this week, just important in the sense that, you know, some tough teams coming in. You know, Anaheim, they're on the bubble, but you expect them to be good. You know, heavy team, tough team to play against. St. Louis, they're one of the better teams in the Western Conference right now. And then you got Toronto, a team you lost to twice earlier this season. I think a lot has changed for the Bruins since they played Toronto early in the year, for both teams, actually. But, you know, those are the 3 games coming up this week, and then he misses another one next week against Detroit before the game against the Rangers.
Well, let's talk about the biggest question, and this is something that has been talked about before. Whenever these incidents come up with Brad Marchand, and as you said, it's, you know, the we got up to a half dozen suspensions now. The questions have been there over the years. Can Brad Marchand be the same player without this stuff? Do you have to, you know, do you just have to understand that, you know, at some point every year and a half, 2 years, he's going to miss a few games because he does something stupid?
It's hard for us, Ryan, to put, you know, myself included in his shoes. I mean, he's 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
He has the puck on his stick all the time. He has guys taking runs at him all the time. He has a target on his back. Sure. There's no question about it. So, you know, when he says, or Bruce Cassidy says, or Cole Julian says, years ago, he's trying to protect himself there. You know, there is some degree to that, but I think that there's just other ways to do it. And like I said, hard for me to put myself in his shoes at that size and you know, with the puck on your stick, every time he's on the ice. You know, I'd like to see the numbers of how often the puck is on his stick, in a 60-minute game. Because he seems like he always has it when they're out there.
I mean, Claude Julien dealt with it over the years.
Yeah.
Bruce Cassidy and now has to deal with it. Like, what do you say to him? He knows better.
Yeah,
and yet it still happens.
Everything's been said. You're past that point. You almost have to live with it. I mean, I think that's it right now. You try to address it when it happens and you have the conversation, but, it's happened, for different things, like we said, for different things it's happened, but his value to the team is when he's on the ice, get through this, get back on the ice and do what you do best and be ready to go for the stretch run.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Maria in Watertown up first. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, good morning, guys. Two quick points. To the Tuca detractors who I continuously see on Twitter that he's overpaid and he's not an elite goalie and he needs to steal you a game. How did you like the game against New Jersey? Because if it wasn't for Tuca, you would have lost that game in the first period. And I would recommend that those very same people take a look at Tuca's contract and take a look at Carey Price's contract, because Tuca is a flippin' bargain compared to that contract. Number two, I want to get to our little friend Brad Marchand. And I joked with Joe Haggerty on Twitter that I wanted 5 minutes in a room with him with my wooden spoon, and I would guarantee that he would never throw elbows like that again. He is coming perilously close to being in the Rafi Torres category of suspensions. He has been suspended or fined at a minimum of 8 times since 2010, 2011. There is no excuse for it at any point. He says the same things every year, and yet we always have these instances. You cannot be lumped in as an elite player and have this kind of nonsense as part of your game. And lastly, I just want to let you know that I am delivering breakfast sandwiches, and hopefully I have enough for the entire crew this morning. Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate it, Maria.
Wait till Joe gets here.
Yeah. I know Jaffe's going to be excited, too. I hope he's listening. As far as, as she mentioned, the reputation, and we talked about how that enters into the five game, the length of suspension. I now think of it as well going forward that, as we talk about, this is, maybe just kind of the cost of doing business with Brad Marchand. The suspensions get longer from here on out, generally. I mean, it obviously depends on the severity of any further incidents, but I mean, this is the NHL to me levying a 5-game suspension. That's a legitimate suspension. This is them, kind of putting their foot down and saying, all right, enough. We've been down this road too many times. And then next time, is it, are you starting to get into, in-person territory where you're getting, 6 to 10 games or something like that? It
sure has that feel.
It feels like this is a statement by the league that we're not going to put up with this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, and I think that they respect the way that he plays the game and the personality he brings to the game. He's fun to watch. I mean, he's a guy, you talk about guys around the league who you'd pay to watch play, he's one of those guys. I mean, he's really fun to watch, and he's fun to root against if you're on an opposition. And, he brings that life to a game, but that's the line that you have to draw, and I agree that now you worry about the next one. Hopefully there is no next one, but you worry about the next one and what it costs, and maybe it's at a worse time. I mean, he had an opportunity to get to 40 goals last year. Remember, with 2 games to go, and that was the game against Tampa, and it was a spearing penalty on Dodgson, and he gets 2 games for it. That's a pretty good milestone, 40 goals.
Sure.
for a guy that's had to work his way the way he has up into the NHL.
Well, yeah, a guy who was never, like, when he came into the league, nobody expected he was going to be a top line forward. I mean, with his size, and, you know, he was, like, I looked at him early on in his career, and the role that he was playing was more. He's going to be an agitator. He's got some talent, but he's not going to
put up a ton of points. You know, he's not going to be and everything, but he had to work his way up. And yeah, and credit to him. He's worked. I mean, he's worked extremely hard to get where he is, and I love it because you watch some of the things he does, and you watch him every day, and you watch him. You know, he's added different things to his repertoire. Whether he's coming down the right wing side or the left wing side, whether he's coming through the middle of the ice, doesn't always work, but he's trying different things. And when they do work, man, they're and they're hard to defend. You can't put a stick on them anymore. You know, if you're chasing him around and you can't put a stick on him to slow him down, you can't give him a little hack and a whack, there's no slashing anymore, that's a nightmare for defensemen. So, like I said, love watching him play. Can't do it. That's the bottom line. Just can't do it. And that's, you know, and he's too valuable to the team to be doing it in the wrong situation.
We see the Bruins managed to get a win the other night over Ottawa. 3-2 win without him. You see some of the young guys chipping in offensively. You know, Heinen, DeBrusque, and Schauer get the goals in that game. But ultimately here, over the next four games, and, you know, you've got some teams that you're not all that familiar with necessarily. Anaheim and St. Louis coming up this week. Toronto next Saturday, all at home. But, you know, he talked about kind of letting his team down, and how does the team pick that up and keep going here over the next four games?
Well, not easy without him and McAvoy. Fortunately, right. They put himself in a great position right now. A lot of this work that they have done here over the last couple of months has been at full health, aside from Adam McQuaid, who just got back recently. But the majority of it has been at full health. And they've been able to put this run together. They've had continuity with the lines for the most part. You know, you've had good goaltending performances for both goaltenders. You've won in a lot of different ways. I mean, I think that goes a long way for what they've been able to do here over the last couple of months. So they've given themselves a cushion here where they can try to withstand some of the injuries that are inevitable to occur. The thing with McAvoy is a little crazy, but, you know, when the adversity kind of hits, nobody expects them to keep up this pace. Nobody expects them to not lose a game in regulation for the rest of the year. But they are going to start getting, well, I shouldn't say start. They're going to continue to get the majority of other teams' best. I mean, Ottawa wasn't that good the other day. You get outshot 44-23 on home ice after talking about how embarrassed you were the game before. Mm. You know, there's something missing up in Ottawa. New Jersey, you got their best. That, you know, you talk to the Devils people, they're saying that's the best, you know, couple of periods, especially the first period that they had played, you know, in a long, long time. New Jersey came flying at the Bruins. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's what you're going to see. Dallas came in with a purpose. You know, that was a pretty good game from the Dallas Stars. I know they're one of the better teams in the West, and their record's starting to creep up. But, you know, you're going to see that from Anaheim. You're going to see that from St. Louis. And I fully expect to get it from Toronto next week.
Yeah. Toronto, of course, you know, Bruins have actually pulled 5 points clear of them
with four games in hand.
Coming into the All-Star break. So, you know, Toronto.
And that was with Toronto winning their last two games into the break.
Right. So Toronto's, they're definitely going to be hungry next Saturday. We have plenty more to talk about. We will be joined by Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston coming up next after Sarge's Sports Hub headlines. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Stay with us.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The last thing I want to do is do anything to hurt the team, and that's obviously what I've done here. You know, again, it wasn't what I was out trying to do, and we have a great team, and they're going to battle hard and do everything they can to win the games, and I'll be there rooting them on. I put my team at a disadvantage again, and I feel very bad about that.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers, Judd Surratt taking the All-Star break, heading back home, and
Sweet home Chicago.
His landlord, Billy Jaffe, will be in with us in about an hour. Billy, make sure you bring your appetite. Marie in Watertown has dropped off the breakfast sandwiches.
So, somebody's going to have a whole armada of breakfast sandwiches to bring home with them, man. Maria did a good job. She brought for everybody on the 98.5 staff. Thank you, Maria.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
All right, so Joe Haggerty, of course, joining us as he does each week at this time from NBC Sports Boston. We obviously have been talking about the Brad Marchand suspension.
What, did he do something?
Yeah, again.
Anything newsworthy?
Are you, first of all, the question of five games.
Yeah.
Too much, not enough, just right.
I think it was just right because of his past record and everything. And, I mean, you look at it, there's a couple times within the last year where he's gotten off a little lighter, and I think the league was cutting him a little bit of a break by not really pursuing it. And, you know, he gets a little bit of that sort of superstar status with some of the stuff now. But, you know, when you continue to do it, I think at a certain point the league feels like they need to step up and send a message too, and to cut the crap. And I think that's what this was. I think this was a message to Brad Marchand with the five games that you need to stop doing what you're doing. If you get in trouble with us again, it's going to be 6, 7, 8, and it's going to continue to escalate into something that's really going to be painful for your wallet, painful for your team, and that he needs to change his ways now, and that the league is had enough. And I think it's right. 6 suspensions, I mean, that's too much. Last year, when he got that suspension against Dachshund at the end of the year, the team stepped up. They got into the playoffs. That could have really cost the Bruins. And one of these times, he's going to do something at the wrong time, and it's really going to hurt the team, even worse than being out 5 games now, you know, right around the All-Star break. So, I have some sympathy for him because I think a lot of them, and I heard Beersey mention this, are more of a defensive thing where he's kind of protecting himself. He's a small guy. He gets targeted out there, and it's not like the old days where he's going to have somebody on his line that's going to, like, throw down with a guy coming after him, so he kind of has to protect himself a bit. But he needs to find a different way to do it, because if he keeps hurting guys and throwing these kind of hits, it's going to get into the real big numbers for suspensions.
Yeah, and the other thing about that, too, Joe, is and something I should have added earlier, but when you watch the games, and watch them every night, right, there's a feeling, certainly in my booth, but there's a feeling that he does not get the benefit of the doubt
not
in terms
the
of
refs.
A lot of calls.
No.
And, you know, you see him joking around with refs now and then. You know, he probably has a better rapport with some of them than others. But I think he gets chopped at a lot. I think he gets stripped a lot that just go uncalled. Yet he's getting some of the reputation calls the other way. Some of the you know,
sure,
ticky-tack penalties that you're like, what, really? You know, so I do think that there is a degree of that. And that puts even more of a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be hard to play through sometimes when you've got the puck and you feel like, you know, there's a penalty there and it's not being called. And all of a sudden, you know, now you're getting called for something later in the game that was half as much, you know. So
you feel like there's a double standard. You feel like there's a double standard against
you. Yeah. Does he bring it on himself?
Yes.
Yeah, so certainly a little bit. Sure.
Yeah.
To some degree. But, you know, that I think that adds. My point is, I think it adds to the chip on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt. There is a double standard for him. I think he doesn't a lot of times get the benefit of the doubt because of the things that he's done in the past and because of his behavior to this point. And, you know, he tries to change, and for a large part of it, he has. And there's a lot of things he's adjusted to his game. And, you know, these incidents are now more isolated and kind of one-off things than anything else. But the problem is all the past behavior in the 7 years that he's been in the league has led to this. And I don't think perceptions are going to change on him. I think that's with him now. And it's going to be part of him being a great player is that's a facet of it. And the referees and the officials, the you know, opposing fan bases everywhere, opposing players, they're all going to look at him that same way. And I think no matter how good he gets as far as a Hart Trophy candidate and an MVP candidate, he's going to be viewed that way, particularly as he continues to have, like, one of these outbursts a year. People are going to say, same old Marchand, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, and when he does something, it is, like, it is magnified through the roof when
totally.
He does anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I watched Evgeny Malkin spear Dustin Brown. Very similar to what Dachshund and Marchand had. Very similar.
Well, that's like the first time I think anybody I remember has been suspended for a spearing thing like that the groin. I mean, usually you get a fine for that and that's it.
Well, he did. Malkin got fined.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Usually that's what happens. You don't get the suspension
Marchand
did.
There was very little outcry.
Yep.
The only outcry came after Dustin Brown hit Justin Schultz into the boards from behind and kind of rammed his head in there. And he got fined. He didn't get suspended. And he had never been suspended before, which was interesting. Which mm-hmm. I thought, I don't think he had, or his record was really small. Mm-hmm. I do think it gets magnified. Whenever he just crosses the line a little bit. I mean, it's on every headline We don't see it here as much, but it's on every headline.
Oh, it's everywhere in Canada. There's no doubt about it. And look, I agree with you, the larger point that you're making. I mean, even Sidney Crosby, I've seen times where he's raised the elbow when he sees a guy coming at him to protect himself. I remember Vladimir Sobotka, I believe it was Crosby, like this is a long time ago, but he took a run at Crosby, and Crosby threw up the elbow at him when he saw him coming. And I remember the gigantic shiner that Sobotka had on his face like the next day after it happened. And I've seen him do that multiple times. And you know, there's a degree of Marchand doing that to try to protect himself, but he just can't do it. He's in a tough spot because guys are going to target him. Guys want to get a piece of him. There's no doubt about it. He's one of the smallest guys on the ice. It's not the old days where you're going to have somebody out there that can protect him at all times. So he's got to figure out a way to defend himself, and it's not an easy spot to be in because, as you said, when he does do something to try to protect himself, you know, and in this particular case, clearly he didn't know who it was because I don't think anybody's going to think Marcus Johansson's going to come in and wipe you out.
You don't know who it is at that
point. Right, that's what I mean. You have no idea. Right, that's what I'm saying.
You're flying into, you know, you take your shot down the left wing side.
And it's just a reaction.
You're rebound. You're coming to the front. You see a white jersey coming at you.
Yeah.
You don't know who that is.
Totally.
I say, I mean, there's guys you know who's out on the ice. Like if Tom Wilson's out on the ice for the Washington Capitals, and I'm a defenseman, I'm going back for a puck, you know where he is. You know, if Mark Borowiecki's on the ice,
right.
He doesn't look to play the puck.
Right.
He looks to run at you and hit you, you know, so you got to know when guys like that are on the ice, you know, as far as finishing their hits and finishing them hard. But, you know, you don't know in that situation who's trying to track you down, coming down as you're flying down the wing, taking a shot.
Right. But the point is, I've seen other guys do what Marchand did there to a degree where they're trying to they've got their elbows up a little bit and they're trying to protect themselves. I just think with that particular case, I mean, he went airborne and went at him. You know, he's not going to be able to get the I'm protecting myself defense there because of that.
All right. So ultimately, you know, as you said, you feel like Marchand has taken some of this stuff out of his game.
Yeah,
but we still, you know, we still see these incidents popping up. We still see suspensions. Can he take it? Can he take all of this stuff out of his game and still be as effective a player?
I think he can be as effective. I just don't think he can do it. I mean, I think at this point, he's almost 30 years old. He's been doing this a long time, and he continues to get these year after year. And I think there's just something that short circuits a little bit with him, and he kind of snaps. And, you know, I saw if you look at the video right after he did that, as he was skating back to the bench, you could see him swearing to himself like he knew what he just did, and he's probably thinking, I'm going to be getting in trouble again. You know, and I think it's just one of those things where there's just something momentarily that in him that snaps for a second and then snaps back in. And I don't think there's any way that you're going to be able to get that completely out of him. I think there's always going to be the danger there that in any play, something like that could happen. And to his credit a little bit, and I'm not going to praise a guy for throwing dirty hits or anything like that, but I do believe when you're a player like that, it does sometimes get you a little more space on the ice, too, because guys don't want to catch that, you know, and that's just a part of his game.
Joe Haggerty joining us from NBC Sports Boston in studio. We'll get back to more of your calls on the way at 617-779-0985 here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Well, disappointed. We're going to miss him. He's a very good player for us. But once you get past that, you know, Andrew's going to come up. We may use him in Marshy's spot. We may move Danton up. You know, we're tinkering with that idea. So still got a good hockey club out there, and we'll go about our business tonight.
Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Bob Beers, joined in studio as well by Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports Boston. I want to remind you to get your bids in for the first ever Bruins Foundation, Patrice Bergeron, 98.5 The Sports Hub Pucks and Paddles event, which is just a couple of weeks away, Thursday, February the 15th at Royale Boston from 4 to 7 p.m. You can get information on tickets and place your bids. Go to 98.5thesportshub.com/pucks, and the proceeds will be benefiting the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center, a terrific and a brand new way to do that. No shaving of the heads this year. Instead, a chance to team up with your favorite Bruin and play a little ping pong.
I'm sure somewhere Louis Erickson is very happy that they're no longer forced to shave their heads.
Pastrnak.
I was going to say, there's a few guys on this team that I know are pretty happy about this as well.
Those damn millennials.
Yeah.
Come on. Who cares about your hair?
You know, it is a little chilly in February walking around without much on the top of the dome. I can attest to that.
Yes, me too. We know from experience.
All right, we just heard Bruce Cassidy talking a little bit about the Marchand suspension and how his team will try to weather that. You know, they've already got one win under their belt since the suspension was announced the other night against Ottawa. From hearing him this week, how do you feel like he reacts to this as it relates to Brad Marchand? And you know, does he look at it as, you know, these are the types of things you just have to live with because, you know, he's a great player and this is the kind of game he has to play?
I think so. I think, and I'm sure there's a conversation like, you know, we've got to be better. But Marchand knows. He's been through this multiple times. You know, he understands he did something wrong. He says basically, it's very similar things that he says after every one. He sounds like he regrets it, and, you know, certainly he doesn't like that he hurts the team, his teammates, the organization, all that stuff. But I don't think it comes down to a coach saying, knock this out of your game. Like, what's he going to do? Is Cassidy going to bench him and not play him now because of something like this? No. he's one of the best players in the league. He's a Hart Trophy candidate. You can come down with some level of that, but I think this is more about maybe, you know, Patrice Bergeron saying, you got to knock this out. I mean, Bergeron does not like the headshots. Never liked them. He's been a very vocal opponent of them. And I'm sure he, you know, has conversations with Marchand about changing his game, and he has changed his game a lot because of those kind of conversations. You know, he's done a lot. He doesn't take as many boneheaded penalties or selfish penalties like he used to. He's certainly cut down a lot on that. And, you know, the incidents that you can look at, as Beersey referenced, and he's completely bang on, he gets watched for everything that he does. So if he does anything out of line, it's going to be on video. There's going to be tweets about it and gifts about it everywhere. Like, people know about it immediately. So it's just a matter of him himself making a change at this point. And like I said, I don't know that he's going to completely stamp every part of that out of his game, because I don't know that it's humanly possible for him to do that. There are moments I think he snaps, and I don't know how you combat that.
All right, a couple of other things before
one more thing. I did love the adjustment that Cassidy did make the other night. I mean, the moves that he made to replace Marchand on special teams paid immediate dividends and made huge impacts in that game. Heinen on the power play, Schaller on the penalty kill with Bergeron. You know, he made a lot of right moves to make it work, at least for one game. And, you know, Cassidy's done such a great job with this team in the first half of the year. It was interesting. We came out as the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, with our mid-season awards, the three finalists in all the award categories, and we invented a couple of new awards as well. And, you know, Bruce Cassidy does not finish in the top three in the Jack Adams at the mid-season voting by us, and I think that's ridiculous. So obviously, Gallant, I think, is going to probably win it running away, and rightfully so for the job that he's done. But I think Cassidy deserves a ton of credit for where the Bruins are and what they've done to this point.
So you guys invented the Rod Langway Award?
Yeah, we did. How do you like that? I didn't invent it.
No, I'm
sorry. I was just along for the ride. But yeah, I like the concept of it.
You know, I think there absolutely should be something in there for it.
Do you like Langway as the name for it?
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Okay.
I don't necessarily agree with Drew Doughty as the pick, though.
Right.
A phenomenal defenseman, don't get me wrong.
This was for the best defensive defenseman,
yes.
Right? Yeah, that would be the award. And Zdeno Chara actually was in
the
top three.
He was one of the finalists.
He was second.
Yeah. Yep, he was. And I think, you know, he would get my vote, Chara. There's no question about it, if there were an award like that. You know, he's now ultra-focused on defense and killing penalties. He's out there sometimes the entire 2 minutes to kill penalties. Like, he's been so good at that. And being paired with McAvoy, who can worry about more of the puck moving and offensive stuff, it just allows him to really clamp down defensively. And he's still playing 23 minutes a night at 40 years old. It's so impressive.
I love the idea of that award because, you know, the award generally, you know, they reward offense, right?
I think it's come to a head with Carlson winning a bunch of times over the last few years that, you know, there's definitely a feeling, and I'm one of those people that wants to give the award to more well-rounded defensemen that do everything and not guys that don't even play penalty kill or play very little. Like I was glad Doughty won. Finally, because I thought he was very deserving for the way that he plays the game.
Yeah, there's people, you know, in San Jose, Brent Burns wins it. Well, he scores how many goals? 20-something goals, 28 goals, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was hard to ignore that last year.
Well, it was, but the fact that against the other team's top lines, he didn't play against them.
Right.
That was the same with Duncan Keith
Duncan
a few
Keith.
Years ago, right? I mean,
yep.
So Vlasic and whoever Vlasic's partner was, I can't remember. It was Braun.
Yeah. Yep.
They played against the other team's top lines.
Yep.
And then Burns would play against the next line. You know, so there's some, you know, people that the track of it, it's hard to overlook 28 goals and whatever he did offensively for that team.
Yes.
But, you know, interesting. You know, when you talk to people out there, say, well, Vlasic's the best defenseman.
And the thing last year was who would have been the defensive defense. I guess Victor Hedman maybe would have been the guy that if you were going to look at for.
Well, he's going to be up for the Norris every year.
Yeah.
For overall.
Yep. You know, but he's the type of guy.
When he's healthy.
Right. But he's the type of guy, I guess, if you were last year when I voted for Burns as the top guy in Norris. If I were going to look for more of a well-rounded guy that does everything, it would have been Hedman more than Burns, but I couldn't turn away from the 20 whatever goals. He was such a huge impact player for them last year.
Real quick before we let you go, because we're going to talk about it off the top of the hour here. Charlie McAvoy goes in to have a heart procedure done this week. Was there any rumblings at all that there were any issues going on with him before that came out on Monday?
No, not that I detected or picked up, not at all. And I was very surprised that that's what it was. Glad that. It wasn't anything more serious than that, even though anything heart-related is incredibly serious. But I've talked to a few people who have known people, had family members that have had the same situation.
Yep.
You had it?
I had it.
And
yeah.
And the most people that I talked to said they had it when they were younger, they had the procedure done, and they have not had any issues since. And when you hear that, it gives you a lot more reassurance. You know, I guess on the other end of the spectrum, you know, there's some scary stories, but they're different sort of conditions of what can happen. I'm going to write this probably today. I talked to Rich Peverly a couple of days ago, and his condition was not the same as McAvoy's, and he was very quick to point that out. But, you know, the one thing Peverly said to me was McAvoy was in the right place, the right city, with the right staff to get it diagnosed early, to get it taken care of, so he's never going to have to worry about it again. And that was one of the things that he wished he had been able to do was sort of, you know, nip it in the bud and take care of it earlier in his career to avoid, you know, what happened later on. And I think McAvoy's going to be able to do that.
Thanks for coming in. Enjoy the breakfast sandwich.
I will. Thank you, Maria from Watertown.
Take one to go, Joe.
You are a princess, a hockey princess.
We will continue. Bob Beers and I will talk about the Charlie McAvoy situation and some other things going on around the team as they head into the All-Star break as the Sports Hub Hockey Show continues right after the headlines.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub and the Hockey Show. For hour number two, Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers. Judd Surratt took the All-Star break off. He'll be back with us next week. The Bruins are back from the break. Games coming up this week against Anaheim, St. Louis, and Toronto, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, all at TD Garden, of course. And, we spent the first hour talking almost exclusively about the Brad Marchand suspension. We can take more of your thoughts on that in this half hour here at 617-779-0985. But another big story this week that, again, it kind of came out of the blue. You know, Charlie McAvoy wasn't at practice on Monday, and then the team announced that that he had undergone treatment for a supraventricular tachycardia.
Glad you said it.
Yeah. I'm a little familiar with this. I actually about the same age as Charlie McAvoy. When I was growing up, I had a heart arrhythmia that was treated with medication. And about Charlie McAvoy's age, they said, we're going to do an ablation. And if you're not familiar, it's a fairly simple thing where they run a catheter up from your groin up to your heart. They give it a little zap, take out the offending portion of heart tissue. And for the most part, you live, you know, your totally normal life after that without any problems. And I anticipate, and that's kind of what they've said, is that that's what they expect from Charlie McAvoy. It was not a life-threatening thing or anything like that. Obviously, he's known about it for a little while now. He had some symptoms. They've been monitoring it, but it's better to take, you know, to take care of it when you can. But I'm surprised that not that they let him play with it or anything like that, but that you know, something like that, even, you know, even if they tell you it's nothing to worry about, you know, anything heart-related can really be a scary thing. And so I was almost surprised that it didn't get taken care of right away, that they let him play with it for a little while, or that he wanted to play with it for a little while before he, you know, they maybe figured out on the calendar when it might be advantageous for him to take a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would have said it during the bye week then, too. I mean,
right.
I really don't want to comment on it at all because you know a lot more about it than I just haven't had it done. I mean, I don't know anything about it. Yeah, you hear heart, you get a little concerned. You get more than a little concerned. You know, the only difference I would say is, you know, you're talking about an athlete who you know, depends on, I mean, that's, well, anybody would depend on it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that, you know, you're talking about an athlete who's got to perform at the highest level in order to get the most out of himself. So I'll stay away from all that. I'm looking at it like this. So, okay, if it's approximately the 2 weeks that they're saying as a good possibility, how does he come back? That's not a lot of time to be off, but 2 weeks is 2 weeks. And you're having such a tremendous rookie year. Okay, you're out of the woods. There's no concern. There's no problems with it, anything like that. But now, how do you come out and how do you perform and how do you play? And
he's been so good
all season. So.
Yeah, I mean, from my experience, it's not that he can't exercise or anything like that coming off of it. I mean, you return to normal activity pretty quickly, but you have a wound in your groin that has to heal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're a professional athlete who, you know, it's tough to, you know, skate rigorously and take hits and things like that when you've got, you know, even a minor surgical procedure that has to heal up. And that's, so that would be, I guess, my question is, how's he keep his conditioning up over the couple of weeks, right?
Well, yes. And, you know, what's he capable of doing? How fast can he get back into it? I don't have the answer to those questions because I don't know the severity of that part of it. So I had to learn a little bit about diverticulitis this year. Now I'm learning about, what do you call it at the heart?
SVT is
okay, SVT.
Superventricular tachycardia. It means your ventricles are pumping too fast. Your heart gets going too fast.
Well, hopefully, like I said, I can't really add much to it because I don't have any idea.
Get your medical degree around this team.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right.
Between all the injuries and now, you know, again, just kind of conditions that are popping up.
Not injuries, right? Conditions.
Yeah. Look, we've talked a lot about Charlie McAvoy and his development.
He would have been a candidate for Tampa.
For the All-Star.
It would have been a candidate. I don't know if he would have gotten it, but he would have been a candidate.
Well, they seem to be loading things up with Lightning, which isn't...
Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron are deserving of going. I hope it doesn't... They're doing well financially, I'm sure. So I hope it doesn't hurt them financially, but I'm happy they get the days off.
Well, that's ultimately... I know some of the guys...
They're going to need them.
Some of the guys, you know, get excited about it and want to go. Some of the guys, especially guys who are maybe a little bit later on in their career, would prefer to have a few days off.
Well, they joked about it. Patrice Bergeron was banned from it. Players were mad at him last year because he backchecked in a 3-on-3 tournament. He was supposed to backcheck in a 3-on-3 All-Star game. He backchecked.
You can take, you know, can't take the defense out of his game no matter what situation you're in, right? But, you know, I think you're right. I think you'd much rather see those guys, especially with, and we've talked about it a lot, the schedule that this team is going to go through here in the next couple of months.
When I say they're going to need them, I mean, the schedule is really demanding. February's tough, but not over the top tough. There's a long road trip in there with a couple of days off in between a couple games. Where we got to go out west, so it's, you know, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, come back, play Toronto, Buffalo. That's all one road trip. But there are a couple road trips, and you're playing every other game in March, every other day, sorry, in March, and a couple of back-to-backs. And there's at least two significant road trips in there. So there's a lot coming up in March, and it's, that's actually, the Bruins played a lot of games in March last year, and they had relatively good health until the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the injuries started to trickle in, and into April. That's when Carlo got hurt the last game of the season, on a hit. I can't remember when McQuaid got hurt in the playoffs, right? Torrey Krug hurt his knee at some point there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those three defensemen were all out. You know, you started to see some of those injuries kind of add up a little bit towards the end. It's just inevitable with some of the games that you have to play and the amount of games that you have to play in a short amount of time.
Well, and as you said earlier, this stretch that the Bruins have been on, they've done it almost with full health, right? I mean, in the last month or two after they got over the initial injuries that they had early in the season, it's been fairly healthy, and you kind of knock on wood on that. And you look at a team like Tampa, who, you know, they lose Hedman. Now they've lost Palat for four to six weeks, something like that. Sure.
You know what I mean? They put themselves in that spot, and they've got some good depth. And that's why I think the depth of the Bruins gets tested where that's supposed to be. I mean, there was a point early in the season, the first month and a half or so, where you're looking at the lineup, and every day it was just, okay, who's going to be hurt now? Who's going to be out now? You know, and there was every day, it was evolving every day where different guys would miss games. You know, you had a little bit with the Krejci injury where that crept back up, and you know, at one point re-aggravated it, and then another point something else happened. We had Spooner kind of in and out battling something. It hasn't been seamless, but primarily it's been pretty strong here over the last couple of months, and you know, that always gets tested throughout a long season.
Let's go to John in Lynn. John, you're up with Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey guys, how's it going today?
Good.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Love the show. Wanted to say I'm 100% with you on the Marchand issue. He's really got to cut the bull, you know what. If he's not going to miss a lot more games, I don't want to see a 10 or 20 game suspension in the future. That would just be a killer for this team. And I think we're on a collision course this year to meet the Golden Knights in the finals. So, but anyway, one other thing. On the rule changes with the offside. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yep.
The offside challenge. I'm one of these nuts who goes back and replays it on my own and counts how many seconds it took for them to actually make the challenge after the goal. I noticed something the other night when I was watching Bergeron's skate was off, and it was off, and they lost a goal against Montreal last week. But I noticed that one of the defensemen for Montreal touched a puck in between. Shouldn't that be something that nullifies the challenge if the defending team has a chance to touch it or clear it and they don't?
I guess you're not talking about nullifying the offsides necessarily. You're talking about nullifying the opportunity. See, this is the problem with the challenge and the way it's been set up. You see these goals scored that are 30, 40 seconds after.
Oh, wait, we got to hang on 1 second. We got to make sure.
You got to get in the time machine and back everything up and reset the clock and all that, because those 30 or 40 seconds never happened. And to be clear,
it doesn't matter if, in that case, Montreal touches the puck or not. In the rule, it does not matter. The only time that would come off the any opportunity to challenge is if the puck came outside the blue line.
Right.
And then he went back in, and then everything's, you know, it's clean slate.
So, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but if they did away with the offside challenge, I mean, realistically, would it have any negative impact on the game?
Well, to a team that you know, it's an obvious offside. It's happened in the playoffs before the challenge was implemented, and you know, it was an offside. They didn't call it. Team goes in and scores a playoff game. Yeah, it does have implications.
I'm not
a huge fan of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Yes,
but yes, it would have implications.
Of course it would. But I feel like over the course of a season, that stuff tends to even out anyway, right? I mean, it would maybe cost you a goal here and there, but you probably also get a goal here and there, I struggle to figure out why a league that has, you know, for years been, you know, talking about tinkering with rules and trying to increase scoring and increase the level of excitement that fans get is taking goals off the board based on something that really probably had no impact on the play half the time.
Yeah, you want to see goals, you know, make it that way. Make it put a challenge in for the playoffs, but not in the regular season.
Right.
I mean, if you want to make sure you get it right and you want to make, I don't think that's going to happen, but you have different rules in the regular season and different rules in the playoffs in terms of overtime.
Yeah.
have implications. I mean, there's different things that have implications on the outcome of a game and outcome of your season in terms of points.
We actually, Billy and I had a conversation about this a few weeks ago when you guys were on the road, and I reached out to a friend of mine who works as a video. He's a video coach for one of the teams, and I asked him about it and said,
like, it's tough on the
now,
video coach.
Well, now that they've put the penalty in, yeah. Now that it's not just a loss of timeout, that it's a delay
just
of game
for the
penalty,
offside challenge, not
for the offside challenge.
Yeah,
you know, and I asked him. I said, "Do you guys drill on this stuff?" Because that was our question. Was you see teams and they're scrambling. You know, you don't have much time to decide whether you're going to challenge it or not. So are you practicing this? And he said, "We don't practice it per se, but he said we spend time every week going over calls from around the league, looking at different videos with all the coaches so that we all know exactly what we're looking for. And, you know, in that 15-20 second window after a goal is scored, like, we have to be able to make a decision and tell the head coach, yes, we're going to challenge this, or no, it's not worth it.
So my question to that video coach would have been, are you privy to all the angles that the NHL has in terms of
right.
having the camera right on the blue line, because we don't see that.
Right. The league has that, but we don't, right?
TV, so Nesson, we don't see it on our replays until after the decision's been made.
Right.
Why? So I don't know if that video coach has access to that camera or not.
Yeah,
I don't have that answer. You know, and if he doesn't, he should, if they're going to have to make a determination on trying to, you know, challenge an offside call.
Yeah. I mean, because he said, you know, I mean, now you're talking about potentially putting the game in his hands.
Right.
Right? I mean, if you...
What happened
to
Washington
make the,
this year?
If you make the wrong call, because not only can it cost you, you know, that goal, but another power play, another goal gets scored, and now, you know, you're two goals down.
Right. And that's, you know, that was some... You know, there was a question of goalie interference. There was a question of offside, and then they were trying to figure that out. There was a couple things that actually happened in that game, and you know, it went against the Bruins against Washington earlier
right.
in the year. So, it's not just the offside, but ask the Toronto Maple Leafs how they feel about goalie interference lately. It's been they haven't been too pleased about some of the calls that have gone against them.
All right, we can get to more of your calls coming up. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show continues.
This is where Boston talks hockey. 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 The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. You're on The Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers. Billy Jaffe will be in to join us in a little over 10 minutes this morning as well. We'll go around the NHL with him as we usually do. Let's go to Valerie and Malden. You're up next here on The Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm sitting in front of Canes. I figured I'd give you a call and went out and get my donuts this morning. I just have a couple of comments about Marchand and Charlie McAvoy. I'm thinking with Marchand, Pastrnak, and Bergeron being so good this year, and, you know, Marchand's gotten really beat up and concussed and stuff like that, and I don't know. I just think maybe he's getting a little fed up with it all because there were some hits that weren't called. He got beat up by Tom Wilson when the Bruins played the Capitals. Granted, he shouldn't be doing what he's doing, and it kind of puts everybody else in jeopardy a little bit, but I don't know. I hate to give him the benefit of the doubt, but then again, the league won't because of his past record, so I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it a bit.
All right, appreciate the call, and I think that does enter into it.
Agreed.
You know, and not even necessarily, you know, the issues where other guys maybe should have been suspended or could have been suspended for things they did to him, but just the game-to-game grind of, you know, look, you mentioned it earlier, Brad Marchand's got the puck on his stick a ton, and he's spinning, he's doing this, he's doing that,
you got guys just wanting to, you know, wanting to track him down, he's got the target on his back, it's frustrating, he's frustrating to play against because he's so good, and it's just, I think that, you know, that... We saw a top 10 list, I think TSN put it together, top 10 list of best hits against Marchand. Right?
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of them were clean hits.
Mm.
There were some good ones. He's taken some big, I mean, this is over his whole career. There's some big hits. There's some good. There was some that were over the line or, you know, there definitely was some that were over the line. I know Landeskog got something for one of the hits on him. There's some interesting hits in there.
Well, yeah, we were talking about, you know, Brad Marchand, frustrating to play against, not only because of his skill level, but obviously because of the type of game that he plays and the way that he, you know, he talks a lot on the ice. And so if he's in a position, you know, if you're an opposing player and you've got, you know, him lined up, you're going to take that shot. And it doesn't mean it has to be dirty, but you're going to do everything you can
against most guys, and him even more.
A little bit extra if you get the opportunity, right?
Sure.
We got a couple of mics. Mike and Braintree up first here on the Hockey Show. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just want to ask a couple things about Marchand quickly. You know, I know he got suspended for 5 games, and as soon as that happened, the first thing I thought was, why is he going to get suspended for the All-Star game? I mean, that's in the series of 5. You know, I'm surprised they're letting him play, and I wouldn't have been upset if they didn't, and then let Bergeron take his spot or something like that, but... On the other hand, too, Marchand being on the All-Star team, you know, we talk constantly about how he's an instigator. He's hated throughout the league and the Eastern Conference as well. So he's on an All-Star team with a bunch of people who probably don't like him, correct? I mean, like, how awkward is that, sitting next to a guy that you might have fought, you know, 2 weeks ago, or just despises your guts, and you're on the same line with him or something like that? I just think that's funny how that all works out. But thanks a lot, guys. Take it easy.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, his personality has a way of...
He's a likable guy to be around.
He's extremely likable. Yeah. So the perfect example is he goes over to the World Championships a couple years ago when the Bruins missed the playoffs. Mm. And he's on the same team with Brendan Gallagher from Montreal, who chirp at each other constantly throughout games and are back at it a little bit. They became best friends over there.
Right.
It's just like, you know what I mean? Like that's he's got that type of personality. And you know, I think the All-Star game is something where a lot of guys kind of look past a lot of that. And by the way, Ovechkin was suspended. It was either last year or 2 years ago during the All-Star game. He went and played in the All-Star game so that they want that player there.
Right.
So, Marchand, there was precedent before that of a player who was suspended.
If he missed the All-Star game, I would want that to count as one of the games
that
he missed, right?
Exactly, yeah. I don't think that was going
to happen. I think we'd be willing to give that one up.
But yeah, I'm telling you, anybody that's on his team is going to love him.
And right. It's a classic case of a guy you hate to play against, but you'd love him on your side. Right?
Sure.
Even,
he's the number one case right now.
Let's go to the other Mike. Mike, you're up next here on the Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
I'm going to go with the lady a couple of calls ago. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because, like Beers, you said, he takes a lot of sticks during a game, and over the course of 4 or 5 games, you know, it's got to be frustrating. And great players over the years, you know, they threw elbows at the end of a play. Orr did it. Bobby Hull did it. I know it's a different game.
Oh, Gordie Howe did it.
Gordie Howe did it plenty, right. I'm an older guy. I know it's a different game now, but they're not different people. They're still people.
Yeah, totally agree. It was a different game. It's just now there's so much more of the concussion thing. There's so many more cameras. There's so many more eyes on things there were suspensions back then. There were suspensions for different things. A lot of it was stick infractions. A lot of it was for, you know, guys really
right.
banging somebody over the head with a stick. But, and there were suspensions years ago for elbows and things. There was some things like that, but it's been more now because, you know, one guy does it and how many cameras are on that guy? It's just there's no way to escape it now.
Sure.
And then I think the concussion thing's one of the biggest reasons.
Well, we talked about it earlier about how, you know, when you look at it from the main TV angle, it doesn't look like that big of a deal. When you look at it from the angle from behind Marchand, you can see it a lot clearer. Yeah,
and they have,
you know, him swinging the elbow.
They're looking at every angle. They're breaking it down frame by frame. They, you know, you never had that.
Right.
Never had a Department of Player
Safety. High definition, slow motion.
You know, you had a commissioner that said, you know, Rocket Richard suspended for the entire playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, and that was then you had riots in Montreal. So that was, it is a different time. It is. That's where we are right now, like it or not. That's where we are right now.
All right, Billy Jaffe is going to join us coming up next as we continue here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports Hub Hockey Show continues. Ryan Johnston, Bob Beers here in the Town Fair Tire Studios, joined now as well by Billy Jaffe. You can see him on NESN on the NHL Network.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen.
You can see him, you know, at a rink near you.
College hockey rink once in a while, yeah.
Coaching any games today?
I was at where you're during your game. I was already, I've already been to Merrimack.
Oh, really?
Yes, we had the what are they called? The Islanders against Junior Eagles.
Yeah, nice and, nice secondary rink they've put in
there. It is a nice rink. They did a nice job there, yeah. Yeah, so I've already been there. Was at, ran back for a little basketball, now here. Good morning.
Basketball.
Daughter's basketball game, you know? You know, Beards, your kids are older now, right?
They are older now.
They're older. You forget.
They're in high school sports now. One of them is in high school sports now. So
you forget the morning rush?
Oh, no. I don't forget it. I just don't miss it. I try to forget it.
Yeah.
We did plenty of those days.
I'll bet.
Well, we've obviously been talking a ton about the Brad Marchand suspension this morning. Just quickly give your take on it.
Very similar to what I caught a little bit of it, guys. I think he got what he deserved because of the repetitive nature of his infractions or his indiscretions, I guess you want to call it that. I don't think the league will be kind the next time. The league's not happy. They didn't do anything when he got when he was involved with Tavares. They warned him on that earlier this year. Yes, he got dinged up, no question. He got by Tom Wilson. There could have been something there. I mean, the point is this: over the course of his career, they're just tired of it. That's what it comes down to in simple terms. And I don't think the next time will be 3, 4, 5 again. He's catapulted himself now into the 10-20 game, the next infraction. It's the way of the NHL now and where they're at. Like it or not, it's a different world there now.
Yeah, I mean, the escalation, you know, we've already kind of, we touched on it a little bit on the escalation and where it goes from here. But it depends, there's a lot of factors that are dependent on it, right? I mean,
this type of hit again.
I still don't put him into that, you know, somebody mentioned Rafi Torres earlier. I don't put him into that category. I don't put him into Matt Cook's category. I don't do that. If you look at the back-to-back-to-back-to-back suspensions or hits that those two guys had, they were predators. Mm-hmm. They went out trying to hurt people. You know, and I don't think that happens with Marchand. I think it's just a reaction. You don't see him running across the ice to take somebody's head off. That's different than the reaction to put an elbow up. I mean, it is. It doesn't make it right. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying I don't put him into that league. And those guys were up around those numbers.
Well, but they were actually one time, didn't they get 25? It wasn't Towers, the last one, 25 for Marian Hossa hit.
Cook got 17.
Cook got 17, right. I think he's... I don't disagree, by the way. I don't see him as predatory. I see him as uncontrolled reactionary. And that's the way that it is. Unfortunately, what you and I think and what we see regularly might not resonate
with what the league ends up seeing.
About
a couple guys, five guys or whatever, they're going to sit in a room and try to determine it.
Yeah.
And by the way, they're breaking it down frame by frame. And they're looking at history. They're looking at everything. So,
and they don't always agree in that room.
Of course not.
They don't always agree.
That's okay. That's why you've got a number of guys and an odd number of guys trying to figure things out. I get it. It's got to be there. You know, you can debate a lot of the games, the amount of games. There were a couple things I thought earlier this year should have been suspended, but they weren't. But that's okay. You know, that's you're not going to agree with everything they do.
Right.
So, but you know, I think we're all in agreement that his value to the Bruins, his value to this team, and he's loved by his teammates. He cares a lot about his teammates, and if that's the case, then he can't do that.
Did you ever have a teammate like this that you loved, but you always? It's not that you don't trust. What's the word I'm looking for? You don't. It's not trust. It's not trust. But you don't.
It was a little different back then, though, too, Billy. I mean,
I know.
There was
agree.
A lot more fighting back then.
Right.
There was a lot more, you know.
But it could put you in a tough
accountability.
Spot. Yeah, I know. I think it may have been you or Joe that was talking about, you know, Bergeron. And I agree, it's a Bergeron or a Char thing. You know, Bergeron, but first of all, let me digress for a moment.
You can't tell me those conversations already haven't happened.
I don't know. I mean,
of course,
you would think that they would have. I agree.
Yeah.
But could there be two guys that are more different than those two guys, yet they're thick as thieves? You know, Bergeron and Marchand.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the opposites attract type of situation.
But somebody like Chara, right, has never been suspended.
Right.
And he it would be easy for him to elbow a guy in the head because that's the height.
Because his elbows are already up there. Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he's never been suspended.
And he's in control.
But I don't mean to compare the two. So now we're talking about Marchand, who, you know, at 5'9", a foot smaller than Chara, is always a target, and the hit puck is always on his stick.
So
it is a much different situation. I'm just saying that, mm-hmm. I like the, what was it, how did you describe it? Reactionary.
Uncontrolled reactionary.
Whatever. It is. It's an uncontrolled reaction, and you see something, and it just... Oh, then what did I do?
Right. Yeah. He's smart enough now. He knows what he did afterwards, though. You know what I mean?
Like, he sure is.
Yes. He's a first-team all-star again. He's a first-team
Billy, player, he leads the league in points per game.
Yeah. I know. He is so
He's just
good.
Played so many less games than Kucherov.
Right.
He's not up there. But if you break it down, points per game, he's number one in the league.
I don't know how he's not a first-team all-star winger again. Right, you know.
Sure.
At this point.
All right. Let's talk about bigger picture stuff around the league here. All-star break. I'm not going to talk about the all-star.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Break down the skills competition for us, Billy, and go.
I'll eat a sandwich. Thank you, Maria.
All-star break. Bruins come in to the all-star break with tied for third most points in the league.
Yep.
They're 2 points back of Vegas with a game in hand on Vegas. They're 4 or 5 points back of Tampa with two games in hand on Tampa.
Let me add to that, Ryan, before you answer. They're number three in the league. Number four in the league in goals for. Number four in the league in goals for. They're number one in the league in goals against.
And they have the second best differential. Goals for, goals against.
Behind Tampa.
Yep.
These numbers are off the charts. They're top 10 in both the power play and the penalty kill.
They are.
5-on-5, outstanding.
Mentioned it briefly earlier, but Tampa's, they've won a few games in a row, but they've got some significant injuries that they're going to be dealing with here going forward. Hedman out, Palat's out for 6 to 8 weeks now. From that standpoint, do you look at Boston and look, we know they've got a heavy schedule and a tough schedule coming up here down the stretch. Mm-hmm. But do you think that Boston has a legit shot of catching Tampa and trying to win the division?
I do. I think they do. I think that the mentality has to be just keep playing what we are. I think they're such an established position that maybe shooting for first place gives them that kind of motivation because they're in the playoffs.
Sure.
You guys, we agree, 97%, they're in the playoffs. The next team that can catch them, 20 points, right?
20 points.
Florida and them, right? Is it still Florida?
In the division,
or Detroit,
yeah.
Florida?
Yeah.
No, Detroit, no. Actually.
Detroit,
besides,
yeah.
Toronto, but the teams that are out of it are 20 points
behind. So,
and Boston has games in hand.
Right. So let's assume, unless an awful hockey disaster happens, that they're not in. All right. The shooting for... See, I think no matter what, you just say... No matter what, we finish second. Yeah, you go for the first spot. Do they have a legit chance of catching him? They played Tampa a couple of times, especially in late March, at least twice there in late March.
Catching them is going to be tough.
And it's all said and done, probably.
I just think they just try to go out and win games and see where we end up.
It doesn't really matter.
First in the division is something that they're putting a priority on. It's just win as many games, and if you end up first, you end up first. I mean, it's going to change who you might play against in the playoffs, but I don't think you approach it that way, and I don't think they are. They'd love to catch Tampa. They'd be nice to be able to see themselves at the top, but
this means they're running well.
It's more about make the playoffs and be playing well when those playoffs hit.
Right now, I know we play the hypothetical.
They got to get through March.
Right, the March is going to be just brutal for everybody involved. That's just going to be a brutal month. They'd play Toronto if the playoffs started now, or if they won the division, they'd play Philadelphia. Right? It would be Philly? Yeah, because they'd have the most points then. I mean, I'm comfortable seeing the Bruins play either one, quite honestly. I am. Either one.
Billy Jaffe is joining us in studio. We will continue with him as we take you right up until 11 o'clock here on The Hockey Show. I'm going to reiterate what we just heard there. Don't forget, February 15th, Pucks and Paddles with Patrice Bergeron, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Bruins Foundation, benefiting Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. 98.5thesportshub.com/pucks. You can get information, get tickets, and you can also place your bids to team up with the Bruins player and or Sports Hub personality of your choice.
That's right before the guys head out to Western Canada.
Yeah.
For a seven-day journey.
Seven-day fun-filled
journey. And, well, they'll get 25% more on the dollar. We'll have a good time. You know?
Piercy grinning over there. Well,
it's true. Although Vancouver,
I didn't think about the 25% on the dollar. I'd have a good time. Yeah, we will. Yeah, it's fun watching games out there, too. I like going out there. I mean, not just Vancouver. Calgary and Edmonton. I know Edmonton's had their problems this year. We've already been through that, but Calgary's pretty exciting.
We haven't seen Calgary this year live. Yeah. We haven't seen them live.
Yeah.
We have next 2 weeks, I think, they come here.
Yeah.
I think.
Haven't seen Anaheim. Haven't seen... we did see Anaheim out there. That's right. St. Louis, we haven't seen. See them.
We got them next week, right?
And then after. No, but those games that... So that trip is Vancouver...
Calgary, Edmonton.
Calgary, Edmonton, whatever the order is. And then Toronto, Buffalo to finish it off.
I'll try Buffalo.
Yep.
I always forget about
that.
That
was Buffalo. The back-to-back.
A lot of people do.
They're playing better. I give them. Yeah.
They just went out and swept Western Canada.
Yeah.
Two shutouts. They shut out Edmonton. They shut out Vancouver the last two games before the break.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some teams that have found their game here a little bit heading into the break. A couple of teams in the Metro that were struggling that have, over the last few weeks, started to play a lot better. Philadelphia has won. Mm-hmm. I think they lost the last couple of games.
Well, they lost 5-1 to Tampa the other day. Yeah.
But, you know, this looked like a team kind of early on in the season that, especially in that division, might be left for dead. And
got a lot of young defensemen there. Yeah. You know, they have the kid Provorov. The more I watch him, the more I like him regularly. I think he's good. You got the Hague kid back on the blue line, too. He's been a nice revelation. Again, when you don't get to watch him on a day-in, day-out basis, you don't always get to know the kids well. Up front, Voracek, Giroux, Simmons, they've all seemingly found their game. And Beersey, I'm going to say a month ago, maybe even 6 weeks ago, Ron Hextall, their general manager, came out and gave Dave Hextall, his head coach, an emphatic support. And it's worked. It seems to have helped.
The game, so they lost 10 games in a row this year.
Yep. Right.
And it was the 10th game was against the Bruins.
Right.
And that was kind of their line in the sand, right? They were going out to Western Canada. They were going out somewhere out west to play some games. And they went out there, and then they went on a really – they've been on a good run.
They had a bit of a bender one night.
Yeah, that was the – yeah, that's what they talked about. They all went out and enjoyed themselves. And
good.
Aired some grievances.
And,
you know,
and then maybe played guilty like Torch was talking about this week.
Yeah, well, that didn't work out for them. 6-3 loss in Vegas. But not only the vote of confidence for Hextall, but also the vote of confidence in the sense that, look, we're not blowing this thing up. We're sticking with it. We're going. There were a lot of injuries on their back end at that time. They were going with a lot of younger defensemen at that time. So we're not blowing this thing up. We love the direction we're going. A lot of people around the league have pointed to the Flyers and maybe the Bruins, you know, top echelon of terms of prospects and availability here in the next couple of years and guys that are still coming through the pipeline. And Philadelphia said, look, we're not going out and doing a knee-jerk reaction on a trade. We're not firing our coach. You know, we're sticking with this thing. It's up to the players to be able to come out of it because this is a group we're going with. We'll make minor changes here and there, but primarily this is a group we're going with. And we'll see. You know, so far he's held true and the team has reacted.
Pittsburgh was another one that, you know, a few weeks ago, I think we talked about them, and they're outside the playoff picture at that point. They're, you know, up into third place in that division, and they've started to come around.
At home, they're excellent, 17-7-1. They're under 500 on the road, 10-14-2. Bob and I were talking during the commercials that their power play is off all world. I don't know what number it is.
It's so good. I mean,
30%, 20-something percent right now.
Their power play is Kessel, Malkin, Crosby, Letang, and then Hornquist in front of the net. And they're at 27-28%. Those top three guys, Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel, all three of them, mostly Kessel, if you look at their point totals, well over half the points for Phil Kessel have come on the power play this year. It's number one concern when you have to play the Penguins is staying out of the box. But, I mean, there's other concerns. But they haven't had the secondary score and things like that.
They did.
But,
they don't have depth.
You know, they've had some goaltending injury issues this year. So, they've turned it around, but their top guys have really gotten it going.
I think that Jimmy Rutherford is going to give it one more huge effort with a trade to make something happen.
Because he's never shy to do
that.
He's
never shy. And also, he understands that he has these guys for a few more years in their primes. He's got to take advantage of it.
All right, real quick. Yeah. In New York, there was a report this week that owner Jim Dolan has said, like, I don't care about just making the playoffs. We need to be trying to win a Stanley Cup here. That has led people to believe that they might be ready to blow it up, even though they're not outside the playoff.
Well, I'm surprised that Jimmy Dolan recognizes anything about the Rangers. Usually, it's just him playing guitar with Henrik Lundqvist. That's about it. Or, you know, or the Knicks, you know, or whatever. Good for him. You know what? It's interesting if they end up doing this because they're fine, but they're not a great team. They're fine. They have some beautiful pieces. Ryan McDonough. I love Matt Zuccarello. But as a team, they're just fine. They could make the playoffs, but if they're going to go rebuild it and give Jeff Gorton, their GM, an opportunity to redo it, he has a few very tradable assets. They could. And Lundqvist is getting near the end of his run.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. Good to see you as always.
Thank you, Maria.
Bob, we will talk to you next weekend, of course. And for those who need a hockey fix, Nesson tonight, 7 o'clock. We got Merrimack, Vermont, and you will hear a familiar face on the play-by-play tonight. Or familiar voice.
I was going to say.
Although it is TV, so you will see a familiar face briefly as well.
Have a good time.
All right, Sarge has got Sports Hub headlines, and we've got Gasper and Murray. Murray, somewhere.
Somewhere, I hope.
Somewhere in the building is Gasper and Murray. They're coming up next.